Bushwood, presented by Seize the Gap Fantasy Football. I am Jamie G. Esquire, as the fifth master of the 19th hole. And I'm here at Magna Mills to talk about the 2024 Players Championship. How you doing, Mills? Did the March Madness, is that hitting you, or is it just a case of the Mondays?
I'm Magna Mills, and I'm all right. Don't nobody worry about me. Thank you for checking out Birdies Bogeys Bushwood, presented by Seize the Gap Fantasy Football. Find us wherever you get your pods and on YouTube, on social media at Seize the Gap FF, on the internet at SeizeTheGapFF.com. Thank you for remembering that. It's as important as signing your scorecard, making sure it has a correct score. And while you're making sure you're doing all that, make sure you remember the flaps. Follow, like, and please subscribe. That's all we ask. If you had fun, please remember, hit the thumb.
That simple. And before we get to the players, let's break down how you did last week at the Arnold Palmer Invitational. How'd you do on DraftKings, Mills?
Jamie G, not quite as good as I wanted. I did have a guy miss a cut in one of my main lineups. And in an event like this where there's not a lot of guys missing the cut, that'll kill you. Also kind of killed me. I went with Rory over Scottie Scheffler up top. Obviously, that was the wrong move. Scheffler romped to victory. He was probably the only high-priced guy, honestly, on DraftKings that truly paid off his salary. Definitely got it done. I got sucked into the Rory hole, probably not for the first time. Both Matthew Fitzpatrick and Keegan Bradley came in under my projected ownership, but Fitzpatrick was that guy who missed the cut and screwed me. And Bradley was really just kind of grinding it out, carding pars, not really scoring fantasy points. Cameron Young finished about where I thought, but he was really hamstrung when he shot 76 on Sunday. My man, Corey Connors, tied 18th, he finished. He was probably the best performers among the guys I kind of called the course horses. Sam Burns finished T30. He was pacing to deliver, but really kind of lost the thread, shot 78 on Sunday. Fading Will Zalatoris was probably my other major bad move. He finished tied 4th. Fading Harris English, tied 21, not bad. Fading Adam Scott, who missed a cut, was definitely the right move, as was probably staying away from Jordan Spieth. He finished tied 30th, really wasn't paying off that price. And I stuck with my guy. I like my guys. And in my case, I love the sandwich man lately, Tom Hoagie. He came through, tied 12. He only cost $7,100, and he was about half the ownership that I projected him for. Had him in a lot of my lineup, so that was one of the things I had to feel good about. I tried to talk myself out of going to Tommy Fleetwood in tournaments. I only had a couple of GPP shares, but he did me no favors because he shot 80 on Friday and missed the cut. Shouted out Chris Kirk as a sneaky course horse, but he finished tied 44, so that really didn't do anything for you. At 9,200, Max Homa was probably my favorite play in the 9K range. He finished tied for 8th, which was decent enough considering he had single-digit ownership. Went back to the well a little bit with Sungjae Im, one of my favorite GPP plays. Finished tied for 18th. Not bad, but not good enough really to pay it off. And after shooting a 39 on Sunday, my Luke List fade was not looking good, but he wound up finishing 56, so definitely wound up being the right move. Fading Jake Knapp was also the right move. The kid is good. I was really worried about him appearing for his first time here. He finished tied for 57th, and he was one of the most owned players, so definitely a good fade, but you can tell he has talent. He was great on Friday and Sunday when he shot a 70 into 72, and absolutely terrible on Thursday and Saturday when he shot a 77 into 81. And yes, when a professional golfer can shoot scores in the 80s, it does happen. And finally, a Matthew Pavon, 7,900 was my other fade. Same logic here. Young kid, been playing great, had no experience there. Finished tied 52nd with double-digit ownership, so I'll chalk up a win on that.
Well, take them as you can get them here. Let's move on to those wagers. I'm not seeing a lot of green here, but how'd you do?
I did not hit any of my win bets. I had Keegan Bradley plus 5,000, finished tied for 36. Corey Connors plus 5,000, finished tied for 18th. And the sandwich man, Tom Hoagie, plus 7,000, tied for 12th. I had Adam Svensson plus 800 to finish in the top 10. Dude finished dead last. It doesn't matter if you lose by a little or lose by a lot. He was a boomer bust guy. He busted. Let's just say it that way. I did not hit any of my round one leader bets. Had Tom Hoagie again. He shot 72. Kirk Kitayama shot 78. Svensson there shot 79. So, yeah, I went big or went home there. The round one leader was actually Shane Lowry. He shot a 66. I had two cut wagers. Eric Hole to miss the cut. He did not finish 21st. And Luke List to miss the cut. He also did not miss the cut, but finished 56th. So he might as well have missed the cut. Did not hit my double chance wager. That was Sungjae Im or Keegan Bradley to win. Nor did I hit any of my triple chance wagers. I had Max Homa, Jason Day, or Sungjae Im to win. And Max Homa, Tom Kim, or Keegan Bradley to win. None of those guys took it down. Obviously, that was Scottie Scheffler. And I even was bald enough to go against it. I took Rory McIlroy in a tournament heads-up matchup against Scottie Scheffler. McIlroy was getting a little bit of juice there, plus 105, but Scheffler definitely took that one home. And a couple of tournament three balls. These are usually my favorite wagers in golf. I had Cameron Young, Justin Thomas, Jason Day. I had to pick the winner out of those three. I went with Cameron Young, plus 165. It wound up being Justin Thomas. Finished 3 under for the tournament. And I actually hit my other one. That was Minwoo Lee versus Harris English versus Ben Ann. My man Ben Ann took it down, plus 175 at minus 4. And then finally, I had a top 20 parlay. All three of these guys had to finish in the top 20 to pay it off. So close. Ben Ann got there, finished 18th. Sungjae Im got there, also finished 18th. And Cameron Young screwed me, finished tied 36th. So close to cashing that one. That would have been a nice plus 1,300. Close, but no cigar.
Mills, you gave us three options for your one-and-done contest. Did those go any better?
No. Rory McIlroy, who is, I said, you could go there if you want. You could go there. You could do a show there. I was confident. That did pick up $224,750 for finishing tied 21st. That sounds good until you remember the guy who won got $4 million. Tommy Fleetwood missed the cut, got zero ducats. Keegan Bradley is not a guy you would have used anywhere else, so it's not a lot of missed opportunity here, but only picked up a little bit over 88K for finishing tied 36.
That does it for the Arnold Palmer. Let's move on to the biggest event of the 2024 season so far. Mills, break down the details for us.
Jamie G, this is the Players' Championship, and we're at the stadium course at TPC Sawgrass in Ponte Verde, Florida. This is a par 72 Pete Dye design, playing at 7,275 yards from the tips. Wind can be a major factor here, and water is in play on 17 of the 18 holes. The weather looks great until Friday afternoon, and then we'll start to see wind gusts in the 10 to 15 mile an hour range. Over the weekend, the winds will pick up a bit with gusts over 20 miles an hour, constant wind in that 15 to 20 mile an hour range, and we got a 20% chance of rain. For DFS purposes, I'm definitely going to prefer the golfers, at least slightly, that have the late Thursday, early Friday tee times. I think you will get a little bit of weather advantage in that window. And for the record, Scottie Scheffler is your defending champion. He won last week. He also won here last year. He went 17 under to win by 5 strokes.
Let's talk a little DFS before moving on to the wagers. Mills, who are you paying up for this week on DraftKings?
I don't think I'm going to pay all the way up to 12-8 for Scheffler. He, again, is the defending champion, won last week, checks all the boxes. 12-8 is a humongous number. I don't mind playing it in your cash games. You can get there, but you're really going to have to probably take two guys in the 6K range to be able to build somewhat of a balanced lineup. So far, I've liked my lineups a lot better when I start with somebody, say, in that high 9 range. Rory McIlroy is pretty much a pure contrarian play at this point here. Yes, he did win back in 2019. He correlates really well to this. He's been very good on these Pete Dye courses. He's going to get low ownership. If you have the stones to go there in tournaments, that's great. I'm not going to do it unless I'm doing something where I'm, say, entering more than 3 lineups. I'll always mix in some Xander Schauffele, Patrick Cantlay. I can never pick one. They pretty much look good on every course. So you can kind of use them anywhere, but they never really stand out that much. If I had to pick one, I would go with Xander, but I think you're pretty much coin flipping on that one. Victor Hovland is probably going to be the most expensive guy in terms of most of my major builds. He's at 10-1, just over 10K. So you're definitely getting a significant discount there from Scottie Scheffler, from Rory McIlroy, and even from the Xander Schauffeles of the world. He disappointed me a little bit last week, but I'm going to go right back to the well. When we dip down in that 9K range, I'm probably going to, for the most part, fade Will Zalatoris, Wyndham Clark, Jordan Spieth, Aberg, and Cameron Young. Don't really have a problem with any one of those. I think I would probably fade Clark and Spieth the hardest, but I am not going to get to those guys again, especially if I'm doing single entry, 3 max, 5 max, that kind of thing. I have been leaning on Hideki Matsuyama for a minute here. I am going to keep riding that train, and I'm definitely going to have some GPP exposure to Colin Morikawa here at only 9,400. Really like him a lot. I don't know if I will go there in cash games, but definitely like him in my single entry GPPs. And Sam Burns and Shane Lowry are probably my favorite cash game, single entry type of guys here. They feel pretty safe. I don't trust Horse History here as much as I did last week, although it didn't really work well last week, but I still tried, and that's half the battle, just like knowing, right? So a lot of guys to like here, really, in this range 9K all the way up to the top.
Who sticks out for you here under 9K, for better or worse?
And you got a few guys here. Tommy Fleetwood definitely screwed me over a little bit last week. I'm tempted to keep going back to that well. He's another guy that has played well historically on Pete Dye Designs. He's played well on the courses that are correlated with this one. Putts well on Bermuda, and he finished fifth and seventh here in 2019 and 2018. That was a minute ago, but he does have some good history here. I like the Gala a bit. He's very good on these Bermuda greens. Decent on the correlated courses. Finished sixth at the Arnold Palmer. Russell Henley checks the boxes as far as, again, a guy who's been good on Pete Dye courses, the correlated courses, and very, very good. I have him in my top 10 here in strokes gained on Bermuda greens. Finished 19th in 2023, 13th here in 2022. Like him, I'm going to probably be fading Tony Finau, Matthew Fitzpatrick, Tom Kim. I don't mind Ben Ann in GPPs. I don't think he's going to pick up much ownership. I'm definitely going to keep riding with Corey Connors, one of my guys. My short-term model loves him. A good history on Pete Dye courses. Finished seventh here in 2021. The recent form is pretty solid. Ryan Harmon's another guy, a little bit of a course horse. Finished third here in 2021. Eighth in 2020. Good on Bermuda greens. Good historically on these Pete Dye courses. And of course, I got to mention my guy, the sandwich man, Tom Hoagie. He is coming in number one in my short-term model, three in my medium term. Finished third here in 2023, coming off the 12th place finish at the Arnold Palmer. And before that, in his previous three events, finished 28th, 8th, and 17th. I think there's a lot to like here. Harris English is probably going to see a little bit of elevated ownership for some reason here. I think he's popping for some people in the model. I am not going to go there. I'm also out on Eric Cole, JT Poston, Chris Kirk, a couple of guys I've been riding a little bit recently. Don't hate Adam Scott from a course form standpoint. He definitely has a decent history here, has played okay recently, but probably not somebody I am going to get to in that 7,600 range. Dropping all the way down. Steven Yeager is a guy that's not going to pick up much ownership at 7,200. Don't hate him. In as much as I went against Jake Knapp last week because he didn't have the course history, here I don't mind it as much. I can see a young guy without experience really coming through. Only 7,100. I think he's going to be very expensive. I think he's going to be very highly owned at this price tag. I can even get him in there in cash games, given that price. Finishes top 10 in my short-term model. Has two top five finishes in his last three events. A lot to like there. When you dig way down under the 7K range, I don't hate Doug Gim. The Gim Reaper definitely pops more in the model than as far as the eye when you look at his historical performance on Pete Dye courses and these Bermuda greens. He did finish sixth here in 2022. The recent form is pretty excellent. He's finished 16th, 8th, and 12th in his last few events. I'm probably out of Luke List. I think some people will get there a little bit. I don't mind throwing a couple bucks at him on a first-round leader bet, but that's about as far as I would go. I think Brendan Todd is a fairly safe cash game option at $6,500. I don't really love the upside there, but I think he can make the cut. And I would say just stay away from pretty much everybody under 6K. You can get there. I know Matt Kuchar sticks out a little bit at 5,400. It's so dirt cheap. He's got a good history on these kind of tracks. Finished 26th and 17th there in 2019, 2018. Don't do it. Dude hasn't made a cut on tour in a hot minute. So don't fall for the banana in the tailpipe there. I would at least keep the cheapest guy at 6,400, 6,500 range. I don't think I dipped down below that very much.
Any other players or DFS thoughts before we move on to our wagers?
Again, I would, as a tiebreaker at least, favor the guys that have the late tee time Thursday, early tee time Friday. It looks like they're going to have the best weather draw. And this is the week, don't be afraid to get weird. This is, of course, there's not a lot of correlations. Guys can play great here for 3 years and miss a cut for 3 years. The guys come in terrible form and play great. Guys come in great form and play terrible. Mix it up. Swing for upside. In your cash games, don't be afraid to go with a couple of the guys who are really good in these Bermuda greens. They are probably your more high floor options. But for the most part, my guess is at the end of the week, the top of the leaderboard is going to look kind of weird. Try to take advantage of that.
$50, the Smales kid picks his nose.
Okay. Let's move on to the wagers. Last week wasn't one of the good ones, but golf is Golf betting is a marathon, not a sprint. For the record, all odds are from DraftKings Sportsbook and are accurate as of 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Monday, 3/11 day, March 11th, 2024.
Rock and roll, man. We got a good field here, so there's finally a couple interesting win bets. It's really one of my least favorite bets in golf, just because you generally want to take the better guys. You're getting the short odds. Give me the Sandwich Man plus 6,000. My guy Corey Connors plus 6,000. Jake Knapp plus 13,000. All of those guys to win. I have two top 10 bets here. Brendan Todd, guy I talked about, very steady putter on Bermuda, decent history here. He's plus 800. And Doug Gim, the Gim Reaper, plus 10,000 just to make the top 10. I am feeling that one. Then I've got some random bets. I love my first round one leader bets. First round leader, one of my favorites. I have Keith Mitchell plus 8,000. I mentioned before, Luke List plus 10,000. I have two cut wagers, Jason Day plus 175 to miss the cut, and Luke List plus 180 to miss the cut. And Jamie G, you'll love this. Luke List is one of the few guys I know. He made two bets pay off. He won in a certain term. I forget which one. He won round one leader. He had the best round after round one, and he still missed the cut. That's Luke List. I mean, talk about your bomb.
Luke List.
Shot like a 62 and then a 78 or an 80 or something. It was wild. It maybe wasn't a 62. He shot real low and then went real high. It was wild. As far as my double chance wagers, I have two, which is appropriate. That means one of these guys has to win the tournament. I have Max Homa or Colin Morikawa to win, plus 1,600, and Corey Connors or Brian Harman to win, plus 3,000. Two triple chance wagers, again, same thing. One of these three has to take home the W. I have Tommy Fleetwood, Minwoo Lee, or Russell Henley to win, plus 1,600. And I have Ben Ann, Cam Davis, or Keegan Bradley to win, plus 3,000. I have a couple of tournament three balls here. I love these. In the matchup between Minwoo Lee, Siwoo Kim, and Tom Kim, I have Siwoo Kim plus 165. I love that one. In the matchup between Hideki Matsuyama, Jordan Spieth, and Jason Day, I have Hideki Matsuyama 165 again. My guy, rolling with him. And I'll let you guess who I'm taking here. You got Russell Henley versus Tom Hoagie versus Eric Cole. No shit, Sherlock. I am taking Tom Hoagie, the Sandwich Man, plus 190. I'll finish up with two top 20 finish parlays. That means all three of these guys have to finish in the top 20 for it to win. I have Victor Hovland, Minwoo Lee, and Russell Henley all to finish in the top 20, plus 2,200, and Patrick Cantlay, Sathya Sigala, and Corey Connors, plus 2,500 to all finish in the top 20. Make some money, baby. Players, players, players.
The Sandwich Man, Tom Hoagie, dude. I want to go get a hoagie with Tom Hoagie.
It's H-O-G-E, but he says it hoagie, so it counts.
It's hoagie. Close us out with a couple options for people in their one-and-done contests.
This is a big event. First place takes home $4.5 million. I believe the top five all take home at least $1 million. So, and once again, like last week, don't be afraid to go big or go home. Do not mind Xander Toplay up top. Pretty much checks every box here. He's a guy who fits on most courses, but he's never really the optimal fit guy. I don't like taking him in majors, and he's underperformed there. I think kind of the quasi-fifth major here is the perfect spot for him. And I'm going to go with Corey Connors. Maybe a little bit of a reach, but he checks every box except being really good on Bermuda putting. He's not good on Bermuda putting, but one of these days he's just going to get hot with the putter, take it down. One of my favorite golfers. He's been playing pretty well recently, has had success here before. And then finally, Hideki Matsuyama. You could pretty much copy paste what I said about Corey Connors, except Matsuyama is in very, very good recent form, checks every box except the Bermuda putting. I like Hideki here, man. Go for it.
Thanks for checking out Birdies, Bogeys, Bushwood, presented by Seize the Gap Fantasy Football. We hope that it was a real hole-in-one. Seriously, thanks for checking out the show. If you've got any questions or thoughts about the Players Championship, please let us know. Mills, go ahead and remind everybody where they can find us.
Thank you, sir. Like the man said, Birdies, Bogeys, Bushwood, presented by Seize the Gap Fantasy Football. Find us wherever you get your podcasts. And on YouTube, we are on social media at SeizeTheGapFF. Find us on the web at SeizeTheGapFF.com. Thanks again for checking us out and remembering all of the things like the flaps. Follow, like, and please subscribe. Yes, it's kind of like a birdie, right? They flap too. Super easy to remember, and it super helps us out. So if you had fun, please hit that thumb. And thank you for checking us out. And seriously, even if this was the worst golf show you've ever seen or heard, I bet you get a free bowl of soup with it.
Oh, it looks good on you, though.